Welcome to Torti Mecha Naf Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Besser, and today we'll be studying Lechem Aleph, Perek Yud, Chapter 10. In our previous Perek Tet, we ended with the story of Shlomo and Hiram working together to build boats to explore the far reaches of Africa. In our Perek Yud, we encounter a visitor who the Abarbanel explains heard about Shlomo from one of these expeditions. She comes to hear about him not as just a person, and not as just a great leader, but rather l'shem Hashem, and she comes l'nasoto b'chidot. The Mefarshim say that she comes to see if what she heard was real, and therefore she comes to test him with riddles. Who is this person, if not the famous Malkat Shva, the Queen of Sheba? She arrives in Israel with an incredible accompaniment with her. Pasuk Bet tells us, "Vatavo Yerushalayma bechel kavid ma'od." She comes to Jerusalem with a very great entourage. Gmalim nosim b'samim. She has camels carrying spices. V'zahav rav ma'od, and lots of gold. V'evan yikaram, precious stones. Vatavo el Shlomo, and she comes to Shlomo. V'tadaber lavet kol asher haya aluvava. She comes to Shlomo and she tells him everything that was in her heart, all of her questions, all of her thoughts. Shlomo answers all of her questions and more, and she sees the stunning bounty of his house, the grandeur of his possessions, and she also sees his service in the Beit HaMikdash, and she is completely overwhelmed. The pasuk says, "Lo haya bo od ruach," she had no breath left when she finished seeing Shlomo himself and also everything that he had and everything that he did. And she turns to him in Pasuk Zion in verse 7, and she says, "Lo he'emanti l'dvarim ad asher bati v'tir'ene einai." I didn't believe everything that I heard about you, Shlomo, until I came and I actually saw it with my own eyes. V'hine lo hugad li hachetzi. Now I see that I didn't even know the half of it. Hosafta chachma v'tov el hashmua asher shamati. Because what she heard was what Shlomo maybe had. And now she says, you have added wisdom and goodness to what I've heard. So what she notices is not just Shlomo's possessions, but she also notices his moral character. Ashrei anashecha, she says, how lucky are the people, are your people. Ashrei avadecha, how lucky are your servants, Ela ha'omdim lefanecha tamid, hashom imet chachmatcha, because they are able to stand in front of you always and listen to your great wisdom. And then Malkat Shva, the Queen of Sheba, turns and she says, Yehi Hashem Elokecha Baruch, Hashem should be blessed, Hashem your God should be blessed, asher chafetz b'cha, the one who chose you, l'titcha al kisei Yisrael, the one who chose you to sit on the throne of Yisrael, ba'ahavat Hashem et Yisrael, le'olam, clearly Hashem loves his people forever, and she put you as a king in order to do justice and righteousness. And if we remember, this was Shlomo's original request of Hashem back in Perek Gimel. Shlomo had asked Hashem, when Hashem said to him, what do you want? Do you want riches? Do you want wisdom? Do you want long life? Shlomo said, I want a lev shomea mishpat l'shpod adamcha. I want a heart that can hear justice. I want to be a good king. I want to be a moral king. I want to be a righteous judge. And Hashem had said to him at the time, you asked, well, I'm going to give you the other things. I'm going to give you wisdom. I'm going to give you wealth. And Malkat Shva, she almost like sees through this. And she says, yes, I see all the things that you see, but I also see why you wanted it. With that, she gives Shlomo a gift of 120 kikar of gold, along with precious spices and sparkling jewels. Then Pasuk 13 tells us that Shlomo, in turn, answered all of her questions, gave her any advice that she wanted, as well as gifts, and she returns to her land. But right before she leaves, in Pasuk Yud Aleph, two psukim earlier, there's an insertion into her story about Shlomo's dealings with Hiram. And it says, V'gamani Hiram, asher nasa zahav me'ofir. Also, the boats of Hiram that had brought the gold from Ophir, hevi me'ofir atzei almogim. They didn't bring just gold, but they brought this special wood, sandalwood, atzei almogim, harbei ma'od, a lot of it, ve'evan yakara, and they also brought precious stones. Almogim trees are extremely rare, so rare that we never hear about them in Tanakh again. And Shlomo used these almogim trees to create a pathway to the Beit HaMikdash, as well as instruments for the singers, assumingly this means for the Levim. This insertion of Hiram's bounty into the story of the Queen of Sheba leaving is interesting, and also just the language that it uses, vigam. And by the way, don't get too caught up in the story of Malkat Shva, because also don't forget to talk about Hiram. But the mixing of the countries doesn't end there. The next pasuk, Pasuk Yedalid, after Malkat Shva leaves, tells us how much gold Shlomo took in that year. And the number is astounding. 666 kikar of gold. Remember, one kikar is about 30 kilo of gold. So it will be, this total would be about 20,000 kilo of gold, or over 44,000 pounds of gold, all in one year. Rashi explains that this 666 kikar came 120 from Hiram, 120 from Malkat Shva, and 440 from the boats that Shlomo made together with Hiram. And again, you see that the two countries are mixed together, and also that they each give the same amount of gold to Shlomo. They're almost being set up here as counterweights. We then learn about Shlomo's unbelievable throne that he builds in Pasuk Yudchet, verse 18. Vayas HaMelech Kisei Shem Gadol. The king made a great throne out of ivory. Vayitzapeu Zahav Mufaz. And he overlaid it with the finest gold. Where did Shlomo get the ivory to make this throne? Ivory comes from Africa. So either he got it in his boat expeditions, or perhaps he got some of it from the Queen of Sheba when she came. But we see that it's this material, this very, very fancy material that's foreign to Israel, that because of Shlomo's expansionism, he's able to use it to make his throne. And the throne was magnificent. Pasuk Yetet, verse 19 tells us, Shesh ma'alot l'kisei, there were six steps up to the throne, v'rosh agul l'kisei me'acharav, and there was a rounded top behind it at the top of the throne, v'yadot mizeh mizeh, and there were arms on each side where the seat was, amakom hashevet, u'shnaim ariyot omdot etel hayadot, and next to each arm was a lion standing beside the seat. Ushne masar arayim omdim sham al sheish ha-ma'alot mizeh mizeh lon asa kein lachol mamlachot. There were 12 lions that stood on the six steps, six on one side, six on the other, and the pasuk notes there was no throne made like this in any kingdom in the world. The Malbim explains that the lions represent Shevet Yudah, and the number 12 either represented Shlomo's ancestors from him to Yehuda the person, or it represents the 12 tribes. It's just interesting because each answer of the Malbim highlights a different aspect of Shlomo's monarchy, meaning what did he want the 12 for? Was it about him, himself, and his descendancy and kind of uplifting Shevet Yehudah itself? Or did the lions represent the 12 tribes and therefore the throne was representing this unity of the country? Anyway, there was so much gold in the country that Shlomo's vessels were made only of gold. His cups, his bowls. And silver itself wasn't even considered valuable. Later, the Pasuk picks up on this theme and says in Pasuk Kav Zayin 27, Vayitein ha-melech ha-takesef Yerushalayim ka-avanim. The king made silver in Yerushalayim to be like stones. Vata'arazim natan kishgamim asher b'shvela larov. And cedar trees were not even so important. They were as plentiful as sycamore trees that are in the lowland, meaning a tree that's like an ordinary tree. That's how cedar trees were at that time in Yerushalayim, because the country was so, so wealthy. Shlomo was rich, but he just kept getting richer. The boats he made with Hiram would deliver gold and silver along with ivory and even apes and peacocks. The last two things are really examples of just pleasures or things of beauty that have no purpose other than to look at them. And that's what Shlomo was able to import, because really all their needs were met. Besides for his business ventures being lucrative, his power grew and grew, which also brought in more money. In Pasuk Kaf Gimel 23, we read, Vayigdal HaMelech Shlomo mikol malchei ha'aretz la'oshar u'lachachma. Shlomo was greater than every king from any land in terms of his wealth and his wisdom. Pasuk 24, V'chol ha'aretz mevakshim pnei Shlomo. Everybody wanted to meet Shlomo, l'shmoa echachmato, asher natan elokim bilibo, to listen to this great wisdom that Hashem had put into his heart. V'heima mivi'im ish min chato, and as they would come, each one would bring a present. Klei kesef, klei zahav, usmalot, v'neshek, u'besamim, susim, u'pradim, davar shana v'shana. And they would bring vessels of silver and gold and garments and armor and spices and horses and mules every year. Hashem's promise of Perek Gimel is reaching the height of its fulfillment. There is no one in the world who has and is recognized for more chachma and osher, more wisdom or wealth than Shlomo. There's too much money. No one knows what to do with it. Silver doesn't mean anything anymore. They use gold for cups and golds. Shlomo makes body armor and shields out of gold. Remember, he doesn't really fight battles, so these are just put into storage that he stores in his palace of the Yar HaLevanon. And Shlomo's wisdom spreads to the world, and everybody hears about him, and everybody wants to hear this great wisdom that Hashem had put into his heart. The last thing that we learn about Shlomo's list of objects are horses and chariots, which he gets from Egypt and stores in special cities. The last pasuk of the parak is interesting, as it's actually not directly about Shlomo, and it says, "Vatale vatetze merkavami Mitzrayim b'sheish meo kesef." If a chariot was imported out of Egypt for 600 shekels of silver, v'sus b'chamishameo, and a horse cost 150. And that's how they exported to the king of the Chittim, the Hittites, and the kings of Aram by their hands through Yisrael. So Yisrael has actually, not only do they get presents from everyone, and not only do they get taxes, but they've actually become importers. And Shlomo has cornered the market. Anytime anyone wanted to move goods from the two centers of civilization, Mesopotamia in the north and Africa in the south, they had to go through tiny and growing Israel. Rav Yoel Ben Nun reads this event as the driving force of this perek. Shlomo is building and expanding an empire and amassing gold as he goes. It's no coincidence that the Milah HaMancha of this perek is Zahav, gold. At first, Shlomo's only real ally is Hiram, who he needs for the cedar trees. But as Shlomo gets stronger, he branches out to the rest of the world, and the Queen of Sheba appears on the scene and also wants to be with Shlomo. She wants to ally with Shlomo. She wants to be a partner with him, an economic partner. Shlomo then has to play a very difficult political game, making sure that Hiram in the north doesn't feel rejected, all the while he's courting a new ally and income source in the south, in Africa. The intrusion of those two psukim about Hiram's ships, especially introduced with the word gam, also underscores this competition between the countries. And Shlomo here, at the same time, is also the clearinghouse for Egypt's main export, horses, which can be sent all over the world via Israel. And now all of the countries are using Shlomo's trade routes, and each are bringing gifts and taxes to Shlomo and Yisrael every time they pass through. Shlomo is able to leverage his astounding empire for another purpose, and that is to spread the name of Hashem. Every country that he encounters recognizes not only that he is a wealthy political leader, but they also recognize through him that the chachma, the special wisdom that he has, comes from Hashem. And in this way, Shlomo is able to spread in some way the name of Hashem throughout the world. And this is a really noble goal. And it also seems to be working. After all, Malkat Shva says to him, Yehi Hashem Elokecha Baruch. Hashem, as she encounters Shlomo, she doesn't just bless him, she blesses Hashem. She says, Asher chafetz b'cha l'titcha al kisei Yisrael, the one who made you the king. She acknowledges that what Shlomo has isn't only his, but actually comes from Hashem out of his great love for B'nai Yisrael. And she also recognizes Shlomo's own goals are to do mishpat and tzedakah, to do justice and righteousness. And as all the countries bring gifts and taxes, they pay tribute to him, but also at the same time, they recognize that his wisdom comes from Hashem. They come lishmo et chachmato asher natan elokim b'lipo, to listen to his wisdom that Hashem put in his heart. And yet, with all this positive influence and the richness and the wealth of the country, we have another part of the parak that leaves us uneasy. There are three laws that we've spoken about already that a king needs to keep. One of them is not to have too many wives. The other one is not to have too many horses. And the third is not to have too much gold and silver. Parak Dalet had already hinted to us that Shlomo's horses and money, but this parak hints at it even more. The point of the laws of the king is that a king needs to remember Levilti Rom Levavo Me'achav. The reason why he can't have too much of this, the pasuk tells us, is that his heart cannot be above his fellow. He must stay humble, and he must not think that he is actually above the law. A king is a subject of Hashem just like everyone else, and first and foremost, he must serve Hashem. Shlomo's dedication to Hashem leads him to grow his empire. It is through his success that his people are cared for. It is through his success that he can spread the word of Hashem, influence people for good, and keep his country secure. But being so successful means that he really will be that successful, which is a challenge in its own right. And it's a challenge that kings who are already prone to trying to enhance their own power are actually warned to stay away from. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilay Nishmat Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.